Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Parents are to be pals to their kids. P means they're to be present. A means they're to be available. And L means they're to listen. Do you know how kids spell love? In fact, you know how anybody spells love. T-I-M-E. You say, well, I spend quality time. Oh no, it is quality time and there is quantity time.
The truth is, there's one gift you can give your kids that they'll never forget. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Thou Shalt Spend Time with Your Children, and shares why giving your time is the most important investment you can make in the life of a child. Stay with us. That powerful message is coming up on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Spend Time with Your Children.
Our scripture today is found in 2 Samuel chapter number 14. 2 Samuel 14 Verse 25. 2 Sam 14:25. Now in all Israel was no one as handsome as Absalom, so highly praised. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no defect in him. Can you imagine that? No one was as handsome as Absalom. The Bible said there was not a physical defect in him. And he was highly praised. Quite a phenomenal young man, would you say? Let's prepare for the study of his word. Father, tabernacle among us today. Speak to that cold heart, that hurting heart, that broken heart, that empty heart, that confused heart, that disturbed heart. Lord, do your work here. You speak. Let me get out of the way. Is our corporate prayer made in the personal, strong, cleansing, healing, saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think most of you know that in the summer, we take something like 1,000 junior high and high school kids to the beach. How many of you have ever been on a beach retreat with us? Would you lift your hand just out of curiosity all over? Counselors? It's quite an experience. And it's a great moment for me because I get to meet anew and afresh many of your sons and daughters. And I can tell you, so many of you as parents, a mom and dad, and sometimes single families, you're doing an absolutely fabulous job. I see your kids, and I just say, I'm telling you, there is hope. There is hope for this generation. We saw a sampling of them up here this morning in one of our youth choirs. And just their presence sort of just lights us up. And I look at your faces and we smile and we say, there's some young people there who have that light in their eyes. I spoke to a group of parents this past week and I talked about light in the eyes of kids. We have on our church staff sort of little inside knowledge. And we talk about a child or a teenager and we say, boy, they have that light in their eyes. Or we say, have you noticed there's no light in their eyes? And that sounds mystical. You say, what are you talking about? I think that light is the image of God. It's a subjective thing, but I guarantee you something. I can walk you through these buildings and let you sit down with boys and girls who are preschool, and without exception, they'll have a light in their eyes. They may be introverted, they may be extroverted. I'm not talking about that. You just look at them and there is a light in their eyes. And for some of those, as they grow and develop, that light gets brighter and they get to be teenagers and there's just a radiance there. But for others, the light gets dim. And for some kids, as you walk around and look at them, you'll see that the light seemingly has gone out. It's not that they're blind, don't misunderstand me. But there's that little glow, that little light there. About 1/3 of the 1,000 kids I go to the beach with, I look at them and immediately I can see that the light is not there. And a lot of things contribute to the dimming of the light or the going out of the light in their eye or in your eyes. And when it's not there, you always go back, not to the kid. I go back to mother and I go back to dad. And therefore, I tell you, I come home from that retreat thrilled over about 2/3 of our kids, but absolutely brokenhearted over about 1/3. And I would like to be turned loose with some mothers and some dads and say, what are you thinking? Don't you see it? You're missing the most sacred, magnificent calling that God gives to human beings. Bringing up a child in the way that God would have them to grow. We have parenting classes for the kids, and we ask them to write down some anonymous statements or some anonymous questions about their home, about their parents. And I have a whole file of these. This past summer, here are some of the questions and statements that were written and penned by our teenagers. I would just like you to pray for me so I can understand my mom. Second, what do you do with a controlling dad who is never, never around? How can I say to my mom, I love you, if I never in my life said that to her and I have never heard her say that to me? How can you deal with a parent that never wants to spend time with you? She comes home from work, fixes herself dinner, stays in her room sleeping and watching TV the rest of the night. When you come in to talk to her, she gets mad at you. How do I forgive and respect my dad, whom I haven't talked to in 5 months? My mom is on her 3rd marriage, and they have been married for almost 3 years. Because of her and my past father figures, I have a trust problem with him and other guys. She wants me to love him and treat him as though he has always been my father. I try to explain my feelings, but she doesn't listen or understand what to do. Here is a letter received from a teenager who had, to the amazement of his parents, they thought out of a clear blue sky, he left home. But he wrote them a letter. Listen. Dear folks, thank you for everything, but I'm going to Chicago and try to start some kind of new life. You asked me why I did those things and why I gave you so much trouble, and the answer is easy for me to give to you, but I'm wondering if you will understand. Remember when I was about 6 or 7 and used to want you to listen to me? I remember all those nice things you gave me for Christmas and my birthday, and I was really happy with the things. About a week at the time I got the things, but the rest of the time during the year, I really didn't want presents. I just wanted all the time for you to listen to me like I was somebody who felt things too, because I remember even when I was young, I felt things. But you said you were too busy. Mom, you are a wonderful cook and you have everything so clean, and you were tired so much from doing all those things that made you busy. But you know something, Mom? I would have liked crackers and peanut butter just as well if you'd only sat down with me a while during the day and said to me, tell me all about it so I can maybe help you understand. I think all the kids who are doing so many things that grown-ups are tearing out their hair worrying about are really looking for someone who will have the time to listen a few minutes and who really will treat them as they would a grown-up who might be useful to them, you know, polite to them. If you folks had ever said to me, Mom and Dad, pardon me, excuse me, when you interrupted me, I'd have dropped dead. If anybody asked you where I am, tell them I've gone looking for somebody with time because I've got a lot of things I want to talk about. Love to all. He signed his name. Do you know how kids spell love? In fact, you know how anybody spells love. T-I-M-E. Do you see all these questions, these statements, these dilemmas? Almost everyone could have been handled and taken care of if the parents had loved those kids and if the parents would love those kids. And love is spelled, say it with me.
T-I-M-E.
That's how you spell it. You say, well, I spend quality time. Oh, no, it is quality time, and there is quantity time. Make no mistake about it. When I say the name David, most of us think of the sweet psalmist of Israel. We think of King David, whom the Bible says was a man after the heart of God. Think about that. A man after the heart of God. He was a military genius, unquestionably. He was a very successful monarch without reservation. He was a musician. He was a poet. He was brilliant. He was a magnificent king. David. If anybody had all the bases covered, look in the Bible, you have to say it is that multifaceted prodigy of a man, David. But David, if you look at every one of his kids, they would have told you that because of their family life, their lives, without exception, ended in disaster. Is that a tragedy? Every one of the sons and daughters of David, with all the giftedness that they had, with all the privilege that they had, without exception, everyone ended up a disaster. Now, somebody might say, well, preacher, you need to read the Bible. You know, the Bible said when David was guilty of adultery and murder as a cover-up, that God punished him, and he did. And that's a part of this. It said the sword would never leave the household of David, and it didn't. But the disastrous story of son after son and daughter after daughter in the family of David, that doesn't tell the whole story of the judgment of God. Take his boy Absalom. We read about him. Absalom had a full sister by the name of Tamar. And she also, the Bible tells us, was beautiful. But also in David's family, there was a half-brother by the name of Amnon. And Amnon looked at his half-sister with lust. And David was so unconscious as to what was going on within his own household with his own children, he set up his daughter Tamar as Amnon was pretending to be ill, and David put Tamar there to wait on him while he was in the bed, and before long he had raped his half-sister there in David's household. David knew about it. The Bible says he was angry, but he did nothing about it. He did not carry out the requirements of the law of God and the law of Israel. Therefore, 2 years went by, and Absalom took it upon himself to carry out the law that his father did not carry out. And so he had illegally, I might add, Amnon murdered, the one who had raped his sister. Absalom fled for his life, was in exile for a number of years. And finally, David, through an entree, brought him back to Israel. But David said, I don't want to see his face. Bring Absalom back to Israel, but I don't want to see his face. More years go by. Until finally someone else comes to David and said, let Absalom and his family back in the palace, let them eat at your table. And so finally, reluctantly, David welcomed Absalom back to his family, and he would eat meals with him and be under his roof, but David pretended he wasn't there. He totally ignored him. He just looked through him. He was there, but his dad didn't pay any attention to him. Until finally, if you know the Bible, you can read it in 2 Samuel chapter 13 through chapter 18 sometime, exactly what took place. A revolution took place. Absalom led for the overthrow of the government, and David had to flee the palace and had to leave Israel. And it looked like that Absalom would be the new king, but David counterattacked, and David's army won, and Absalom was fleeing. And David said, deal gently with my son. In other words, don't kill my boy. I know he's led this revolution, but don't kill my boy. Spare him. Bring him back to me. But they didn't listen to David. They murdered Absalom. And when David heard about it, he goes to the gate of the city, and day after day they hear the king of Israel lamenting. Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, oh, would to God I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Does anyone doubt that David, in those agonizing, tragic words, would not have gladly given his own life for his boy? I think he would. Oh, Absalom, I would have died. I wish I could have died in your place. But there's a dad who'd given his life for his son, but he wouldn't give him time. And I think every one of David's kids would have been like the family I heard about where the father operated the home like a drill sergeant. He literally did. He'd bring all the kids in every morning, and after breakfast he would line them up and he would examine them if they brushed their teeth and combed their hair, and he would give them orders for the rest of the day as they would all go out to school. And finally one day he operated his family year after year like a drill sergeant till finally a little guy said, sir, is there any way I can transfer out of this chicken outfit? I think every one of David's children would have transferred out of that family. Because David, with all of his vast resources and all of his giftedness, he was not a pal to his kid. You say, well, pal. Now, I don't think kids need mom and dad to be a buddy, a pal, a friend. It's always rather ridiculous to me to see mothers who try to be teenagers when their daughters are teenagers. They need a mom. They don't need another peer. But that happens sometimes. I'm not talking about that. Parents are to be pals to their kids. P means they're to be present. A means they're to be available. And L means they're to listen. David was not available. David was not present. And David did not listen. He wasn't a pal. So what am I talking about here? I'm talking about being present. Mom, Dad, you have to be present. And this is what I call scheduled time. You have to be there for your kids. I'm talking about when they get up. I'm talking about when they have breakfast. I'm talking about at least have an evening meal together. I'm talking about being there to play with them on the floor, to play with them in the yard. I'm talking about a daily presence in the family, a carpool presence, a timeout presence. You are there for them. It is important, parents, that you be there and give them the highest priority in your schedule. Let me ask you a question. Is it a rare thing for your family to sit down and have an evening meal together? Is that a rare thing, an exceptional thing, or is that a normal thing? It must become normality.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. How easy it is in today's culture to be swallowed by it all. Bigger, better, more. How important it is that we get still and know that we can receive the wisdom from above that God promises to all of His children. Notice that this wisdom is, first of all, pure. That means it is without mixture or alloy. It calls us to be holy, to be separate, and to swim upstream against the current of our world. With wisdom from above, we're able to interpret things from a divine dimension, and we understand something of the way God works. We can go with the crowd, or we can act on the basis of wisdom from our living God. Choose correctly, and you will receive the ability in any situation and in any relationship to understand how God would have you live, to understand how God is working in your life, how He's working in my life. And then we know exactly what He would have us to do.
We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes this message with more proven truth about how you can bless the kids in your life with the precious gift of your time.